Greetings, this is Dan White with the media book, The End Time Church, Chapter 81, Rejecting the King of Glory. So Yahweh was Israel's only king for several centuries. In the time of the judges, there were no human kings. Yahweh purposely designed Israel's first government that way. He was their king. However, the people didn't follow their king, disobeyed his commandments. That meant continuing troubles, constant wars. Now, they could have just followed Yahweh and avoided their constant battles, but instead they decided to keep the battles and dump the king. They wanted to replace him with some guy down the road who would lead them in their constant battles. The United States of America followed a somewhat similar path. The fledgling USA also designed their government not to have a human king. The nation was filled with individually Christian citizens, to whatever degree. And without a human king, that left God as their king. As Laura Ingalls wrote in Little Town on the Prairie, quote, God is America's king. She thought, Americans won't obey any king on earth. Americans are free. That means they have to obey their own consciences. No king bosses Pa. He has to boss himself. This is what it means to be free. It means you have to be good. The laws of nature and of nature's God endow you with a right to life and liberty. Then you have to keep the laws of God. For God's law is the only thing that gives you a right to be free. End quote. After several centuries, though, the United States of America, like Israel, rejected their king, the King of Glory. The Pilgrims sailed away from King James and onto Plymouth Rock in 1620. About three centuries later, in 1925, America tried to make a monkey out of God in the Scopes trial. The rejection process was underway. Israel had rejected their king with a dramatic demand, "Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But instead of a sudden dramatic declaration, America rejected their king in a stealthier manner, right under the Christians' noses, without most of them smelling the stench. As this is written, the streets of America's major cities seethe with raging rioters, and their thoroughfares bear scars from the so-called protests. Bibles are burned, churches are burned, Christians are attacked, city blocks are burned. Well, these rioters are not conservative Christians. They are, quote, secular in religion, a euphemism for being antichrist. People of the U.S. majority political party openly reject the, quote, white Jesus. End quote. Well, God is definitely not America's king today. What was this subversive process that led from Little Town on the Prairie to big riots in Chicago? How did this happen? How did America reject its king and become just another godless nation? 1. Mass media. You know, mass media began with the printing press and the Bible. Martin Luther's and other Bible translations were mass produced and distributed, letting people own and read the Bible for the first time in their lives. That was the first mass media. Well, today the mass media is not known for distributing Bibles. On the contrary, there is no degeneracy that the mass media does not promote. There is no goodness that they do promote. This media muck in all its electronic forms is so pervasive that even most of those who call themselves Christian continually drink from its fetid fountains. Until electronic media appeared in the late 20th century, printing was still the only mass media, newspapers, magazines, and books. And the mass media attacks against America's king in newspapers and magazines began with the Scopes trial in 1925. Tennessee had passed a law outlawing the teaching of evolution. A part-time public school biology teacher, part-time, was recruited by Antichrist forces to teach evolution and then to be tried for breaking the law against teaching evolution. During that trial, newspapers and magazines had a heyday, supporting evolution and mocking God. So much so that that trial today, in continuing mockery, is referred to as the Scopes Monkey Trial. The media made a monkey out of the king. The basic premise of that media attack and of all modern mass media in America is evolution's teaching that God is not real. They simply deny that God is. Whatever they do doesn't matter because there is no God, they think. 2. A second prime force of rejecting the king was the Supreme Court. Evolution was forced into government schools by the educational elites who had been put in charge of the schools. They replaced parents who for 300 years had been in charge of what their children learned. American parents overwhelmingly disagreed with evolution, but when evolution was wormed into the government schools, the Christians did not remove their children. They believed evolution was evil, but then they accepted that evil. Evolution is not just a variant biological teaching. Evolution attacks the most fundamental belief of Christians, that their God isn't. Logically, then, breaking his commandments is not wrong. If God doesn't exist, then humans are the highest beings in existence, and they can set their own moral law. You see, evolution rejects the king directly by saying he's non-existent, dead. Exodus 3, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "You shall tell the children of Israel this, I am has sent me to you." God said moreover to Moses, "You shall tell the children of Israel this, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." End quote. The name Yahweh, God's memorial to all generations, means existence. As God explained there, it means I am. God is, everybody else ain't. All others depend on being sustained by the one who is self-existent. But evolution denies his existence. Nothing is more basic than that. A parent may allow government schools to teach his child to dishonor father and mother, or to indulge in filthy sexual sins, or to hate Christians. Yet none of those are as bad as allowing the child to be taught evolution, which denies the God who sustains all those Ten Commandments. Matthew 23, Christ said, "Woe to you, you blind guides, which say, whoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold?" End quote. So the Pharisees said that if someone swore by God's temple, well, that didn't count. But if he swore by the gold of the temple, then that counted, and he was held to that oath. "You fools and blind," Christ told them. In the same way, Christian parents who support the anti-God schools would balk at allowing their children to be taught deviant sexual practices in those schools. But they willingly allow them to be taught that the God who gave the seventh commandment against sex sins doesn't exist. How can they complain about sex sins when they accept the teaching that God doesn't even exist? Which is worse, going against the commandment or going against the God who wrote that commandment? You fools and blind. The teaching of evolution breaks the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." And it breaks the first great commandment, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And this is going beyond attacking the commandments to directly attacking the commandment giver. When there was no law commanding evolution in the public schools, Americans meekly accepted evolution in their schools. After all, the educational authorities said it was right. Once people voluntarily accepted evolution, then it did become law. Not by an act of Congress, but by a decree of the highest court in the land. Thus, the U.S. Supreme Court joined in the campaign to reject the king. In 1947, the Supremes ruled that there was a wall of separation between church and state, with church meaning the Christian religion in all its forms. Before then, the Bible and Christian beliefs had been the basis of the government, and there were no Antichrist government schools. After the Supremes' 1947 decision, the American government became the enemy of the Bible and Christian beliefs. The prime battlefield for their attack was the government schools, and the Supreme Court was the prime attacker. In 1962, the court ruled that schools could not lead students in prayer. The next year, they ruled that schools could not read the Bible to students. In 2000, they prohibited prayers to open football games. More recently, lower courts have required public school students to be taught anti-Christian material, such as explicit sex education, and to share restrooms, showers, and field trip beds with transgender students. The courts also issued decrees allowing abortions, deviant sex practices, and a long chain of other rejections of basic decency. And in 1968, the Supremes ruled that the states could not forbid the teaching of evolution, and in 1980 specifically outlawed the teaching of God as creator in the government schools. So the highest court in the land, presumably including the wisest people in the land, forcibly changed the government schools from teaching God and the Bible to rejecting God and the Bible. quite a switch. Most conservative Christians said that was evil, but still went along with it. Ironically, the building that the Supreme Court meets in to this day has several carvings of the Ten Commandments in it. That artwork remaining from a time when America's Supreme Court did have wisdom. Today's court decisions are never based on what God says. They are always based on human reason, purposely excluding what God says. And they think it makes no difference if they exclude God from their decisions and from the nation's schools. It did make a difference. 3. The mass media acts as if God does not exist. The Supreme Court rules as if God does not exist. And the third great instrument of rejecting America's king teaches that God does not exist. A nation of personally dedicated Christians taught the Bible to their children. America itself was based on the Bible in its government, its beliefs, and in who it sought in time of trouble. The schools that parents established then were also Bible-based and customarily began the school day with Bible reading and prayer. And in early schools in America, students were taught how to read and how to live by the McGuffey readers. For example, in the McGuffey Reader, Book 6, Lesson 36 is, quote, a lesson on, quote, Paul's speech on Mars Hill, end quote. Okay, well, I just ran an internet search on that topic, and no, government schools do not have a lesson on Paul's speech on Mars Hill. Yes, the media and the courts were a vital part of the movement to reject God as king. However, this gradual, subversive process had a central base, a foundational platform, one center of attack that led the people to their perversity. That central base of subversion of America and rejection of her king was the centralized government schools. The Republic was established on the principle of preventing centralization of power. Horace Mann is known as the father of the public schools. That is, he worked to centralize government power in the public schools. Oddly enough, he did it to save the Republic. Mann feared that the Republic would not remain unified if the government did not control the people. So he successfully fought to have state control of education in his home state of Massachusetts. Other states then followed suit, and later that control moved to the national level. This meant that control of what children learned moved from Christian parents to Antichrist government bureaucrats. Freedom of choice in education shifted to socialist monopoly education. Before Horace Mann, schools taught Christian values in whatever variety. After Mann, schools were ultimately used to teach Antichrist values. Mann was a Unitarian, and his goal in setting up government schools was to prevent America's children from being taught biblical Christian values and to instead teach them humanist values. Quote from a book, Unitaria Universalist Origins, as early as the 1830s, both Unitarianism and Universalism were studying and promulgating texts from world religions other than Christianity. By the beginning of the 20th century, humanists within both traditions advocated that people could be religious without believing in God. And from the website AmericanHumanist.org, quote, Unitarian Universalism has evolved to be a non-creedal religion that welcomes people of all beliefs. Humanism itself became an influential part of the religion in the early 20th century and remains strong to this day. Our history has carried us from liberal Christian views about Jesus and human nature to a rich pluralism that includes theist and atheist, agnostic and humanist, pagan, Christian, Jew, and Buddhist, end quote, about humanism. Now, you will recognize there the old Roman religion. Everybody in, everything accepted. Well, whose schools did the public school people copy? The Germans. You know, those schools that produced willing soldiers for Kaiser Wilhelm in World War I and Adolf Hitler in World War II. From the book from the article School Choice in Michigan, quote, the Prussian system of state-controlled education extended from the lower grades through the university levels. Schools were established, supported, and administered by a central authority. The state supervised the training of teachers. Attendance was compulsory. Parents were punished for withholding their children from school, and efforts were made to make curricula and instruction uniform. Supporters believed that this system was both efficient and effective, and used it as a prime example of the superiority of centralized authority. End quote. The superiority of centralized authority. Wilhelm believed it. Hitler believed it. The public school creators believed it. If everybody believed the same thing, what the government told them to believe, there would be unity in the American Republic. And you know the 10 Roman emperors who put Christians to death also believed that, as did Constantine. Well, many Americans at that time did not believe in centralized authority, in government, or in government schools. Reading from that same article, quote, many also disagreed with Mann about the role of government in schooling. Centralized control of schooling was seen as antithetical to Republican traditions, in particular, the freedom of parents to pass on their own beliefs and traditions to their children, end quote. Okay, many Americans disagreed with that, but almost all those Americans who disagreed with the centralized government school concept did nothing about it and went ahead and accepted it. Horace Mann believed that government of the people, by the people, and for the people would fail unless the government controlled the people. He did not believe that people should control the government. He believed that government should control the people. And the government could control the people by taking control of their children. And to try to save the republic, where people control the government, by government controlling the people is, well, it's lunacy. Horace Mann tried to save the republic by centralizing government power in its schools. Thus, he tried to save the republic by ending it. That end is now coming to pass. The public schools were begun to take the place of Christian schools. The public schools were explicitly religious in their purpose, to replace Christian values with humanist values, to replace the God of the Bible with the belief that humans are the highest beings in creation. The Constitution split power into the three branches of executive, legislative, and judicial. But the Constitution did not mention schools at all. It did not establish government schools, nor did it prohibit government schools. And that's where man and the educational elites attacked the Republic in that unmentioned area by centralizing power in the government schools. These socialist institutions control the children in every town in America. They have continually expanded the school year and the school day. And ironically, those who advocate abortions and postpartum butchery now run preschools and even daycare centers with little babies. They also feed many children and even send food home during the summer. Their reach is incredible, and they have no intention of stopping. And every day, everywhere, in every public school, they always teach that God isn't. More than anything else, that has destroyed the Republic. The mass media can spread its muck only because people think God doesn't matter. The court decisions are accepted only because people believe that God doesn't matter. And they believe that because every day in every school, those people, generations of America's youth, were taught that God doesn't matter because he's not real. The American Republic was destroyed using mass media, the courts, and the public schools. And in all those cases, the people, the American people, accepted evil, even though they initially disagreed with it. They filled their minds with media filth, they accepted court-decreed infanticide, and they allowed their children to be religiously indoctrinated by humanists. Those three channels of destruction are all based on forgetting God. The media is extremely filthy and godless. The modern courts made their decisions without considering God at all, and the government schools are based on the principle of purposely excluding God. And all their students learn by years of example that it's all right to exclude God. In reality, God must never be left out. Deuteronomy 6, these words which I command you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. End quote. When you sit, when you walk, when you lie, when you rise, God must never be left out. Psalm 78, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a teaching in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children who should be born, who should arise and tell their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. End quote. America's generations have now forgotten God, and that does matter. The streets are torn with riots. Bibles are burned. Churches are attacked. Violence has spread across the amber fields. And the Democratic Party recites the Pledge of Allegiance by leaving out one nation under God. Israel had judges instead of human kings. But after several centuries, they rejected their king, Yahweh God Almighty. To whatever degree, America had the same king, and after several centuries, followed the same pattern. the nation that was the second most unique nation in world history, and the most individualistic Christian nation ever, became like so many others. And this is only the beginning of their depravity. Job 8, can the papyrus grow up without mire? Can the rushes grow without water? While it is yet in its greenness not cut down, it withers before any other reed. So are the paths of all who forget God. The hope of the godless man shall perish. End quote. This is one of the saddest stories in human history. The nation that President Reagan called the shining city set on a hill has become Solomon's Mount of Corruption. The nation that was unique is now run-of-the-mill. The nation full of individual Christians is now full of secularists who detest conservative Christians, including George Washington and all the founding fathers. President Trump said at a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, quote, 2 days ago, leftist radicals in Portland, Oregon, ripped down a statue of George Washington and wrapped it in an American flag and set the American flag on fire, end quote. George Washington could have been king of America, but after 2 terms as president, he stepped down because he did not want America to have a human king. Now America rejects that fine man as a founding father of the United States. And they reject the God that all those founding fathers tried to follow, the King of Glory. And that is what they learned in America's public schools.